right now, you just don't need to know. And coming up with the message for today, I was thinking, you know, there was probably 15 different titles I could give to the message, and I think a title that probably covers every message ever given according to the Word of God would simply be Need to Know. And so I thought, well, let's just title this one Need to Know this time. Because I'm here to tell you, what is in the Word of God is for everyone, and it is a need to know. And I don't care if you are a small child or the eldest adult around, you still need to know, and we still can learn. Amen? Amen. Every single day of our life. And so it takes me into Scripture as I'm looking at it. And when I come to Scripture, I look at it with eyes that say, what is it that I need to know out of this specific verse? What is it saying, and how does it pertain to my life? And I think that's a healthy place to be. I think everybody who reads the Bible, which is our instruction book of life, right? We need to come at it with the mindset that says, okay, it was written for a reason. It's very specific. And sometimes in the fleshly mind, it doesn't really make sense unless you really start to break it down. And then all of a sudden it becomes that thing that we call Rhema word, or the living Word of God. Amen. And when it becomes the living Word of God, it now becomes life to you, correct? Yep. Does to me anyways, yep. Right? So I got to relate it back. So today I'm in chapter 15 of John, and it should be on your handout there. And in reading chapter 15 of John, I'll be reading verse 16. But before I get into there, you guys are more than welcome to turn there. I'd encourage you to turn there, because I would say underline and write in your Bible. You know, it's, I think one of the most helpful things for me is when I'm studying the Word of God is actually writing down in my Bible, underlining things in my Bible. Now, this may be just basic to some, but to some, maybe you never heard this before. Maybe some listening or whatever. But this is my workbook of life. So what I do with my family, this pertains to it. What I do with my work life, this pertains to it. What I do with counseling others, this pertains to it. And so it's important. So 5 years down the road, I can open up the Word of God and I go, wow, I underlined that for a reason. And right at the very moment, it might not register what that reason was for, but at some time in my life, it really, really spoke to me. And it takes my eyes directly to it. And I know that at some point, I needed to know this. Are you with me? And so right now, what I'm talking about in John 15, if you take chapters 13 through 17 in the book of John, that is called or known as, in like theology and the theologian seminary, it's known as the upper room discourse. In other words, it's known as the upper room discussion. And this was Jesus mostly speaking to his disciples. And in this discussion, he was telling his children, his disciples, his devoted followers, he was telling them some very important things. I worked hospice for a little over a year. And in hospice, the people that I was working with, they were dying. They were going to graduate at some point in time, right? All of us are going to graduate at some point in time. But I can imagine myself, I'm picturing myself now, maybe on my deathbed. And I got my daughters around me and my wife. And as I'm on my deathbed, I think the most important things that I could probably ever say in life would be at that time that I'm getting ready to leave this earth. Does that make sense? And so Jesus, he already knows and has told his disciples, listen, I'm going to be betrayed. And the betrayer is going to be you, Judas. No, not me. And Peter's saying, man, I'll die for you. And he says, no, you're gonna betray me 3 times before the crow, you know, the rooster even crows. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But he's laying out some very specific things. How much he loves them. That he is going to die, but he's dying for them. But he's going to come back again. When he comes back again, he's coming back in power. And also in the process, when he leaves again, you're going to receive the same power that he had, known as the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so he's laying out, and he's telling them over and over again, I love you. I love you. I love you. And in 3 areas of this upper room discourse, he says, anything that you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Three areas, it's pretty important, and he continues to tell them, right? But then maybe that's next week's discussion. Anyways, moving on, reading John 15, 16. If you have an ink pen, you should underline these things. Verse 16, Jesus speaking. You didn't choose me. Jesus is telling the disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And then he goes on, he says, and I, remember Jesus now, I chose you and I appointed you for a purpose, and that's to go and produce lasting fruit. And then he goes on, he says, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Three specific areas that I want to stick with just on this one verse. Number one, he chose us. Number two, he appointed us. And number three, the lasting fruit part. We've been talking about, last week Pastor Weldon was talking about how in Christianity, it seems like there's a lot of people leaving the church. Doesn't seem that way. There are a lot of people leaving the church, okay? There's a lot of people who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of people who kind of have this low, you know, they're not on fire for God. I mean, wow, some of the worship songs today, the reckless love, you know, I will climb up the mountain for you. I'll break down the walls for you. I mean, this is Jesus. Now think about this. He says, I chose you. So why in that song, Reckless Love, would he be saying, I will climb up the mountain for you? Didn't he leave the 99 to go after the one? You see, many times we think in life that we are choosing Jesus, right? But we've got it wrong. We have a choice to accept or reject Jesus, but he chose us. And I want to talk about this. So think about this. You ever been, back in your younger years, right? Those of you who are youth in here, you understand this, where you're standing up in line and say, all right, form a line. I got two team captains, and we're going to pick the teams. And so team captain A, he comes up, and he's like, yep, I pick you. Team captain B comes up and says, yep, I pick you. And you're standing there on the other end going, I hope they pick me. I hope they pick me. Come on. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, right? Maybe I've been there more than often. But anyways, you know, I hope they pick me. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, I mean, think about this. How do you feel individually if you're like one of the last people to be picked? Right? See, in the world's way of thinking, the best is picked first, right? So I pick you. So I'll share a quick story with you. Hopefully it's quick. So when I was in elementary school, and it had to be somewhere between fourth and sixth grade, somewhere around there, probably fourth or fifth grade, I went out for an after-school basketball program. You can laugh. Yeah. Tall Mike went out for an after-school basketball program, right? Anyways, in that, there was a bunch of us, guys and girls. We went out for this basketball program. And in that, they had two team captains. And they're picking, and they're picking, and they're picking, and they're picking, and they're picking. And all of a sudden, they've got their team picked. But there's a lowly group of us on the other side looking at each other going, well, I wonder why we didn't get picked. But the after-school, this is a good story though, right? The after-school director, he says, you know what? Those of you that weren't picked for these two teams, there's enough of you left to have another team. So we'll have three teams. Who wants to be team captain? Yeah, I'll be team captain. So everybody goes and they name their team. So team A names it whatever, team B names it whatever. I'm team C, right? I name us the underdogs. True story, right? So we just so happened, the underdogs, the ones that weren't picked, won just enough games after school to go to the playoffs. So I can't remember if it was A or B. One of them, we beat them out by one game to play the winning team, right? So now it comes time for the big play, the big playoff. Who's the champion? And so you got this scraggly group of the underdogs, right, against the group that won, I think, almost all of the games. And we went up and we played them and we beat them by one basket. I'm just sharing the story. I don't even know if it has any meaning on this message. But boy, that was a good time, right? If you could rub something and something. No, I'm just kidding. But it does go back to choice and those uncomfortable things. And I, when I was a youth pastor for 5 years here, I used to go, you know what, we're not going to do that because we're going to make things fair. And in the process of that, I'm going to line you guys up, and you're number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number two. All the number ones go over there, all the number twos go over there. We didn't have a choice, right? I chose them as what number they were, and they went. Now, we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus, what he said is, you didn't choose me. I chose you. What we have to understand is that Jesus, he loves us so much that he chose us. Amen. And he chose us knowing what was going to happen to him. See, he didn't just get caught. He allowed himself to get caught. He didn't fight the torture. He allowed himself to be tortured. He allowed all of this. But before that even happened, he said, I choose you. And I choose you. And I choose you. And I choose you. You know, I, in life, try to only choose those things that I want. Jesus wants you. It's, you're not happenstance. You're not, none of us, throw away. No, Jesus, he wants you. He wants you to exceed expectations in life. Good word. And if you're not, he still wants you. Thank you. If you're sowing into the ministry of working these things out for God every day of your life, and you think you're a superstar in the kingdom of God, he wants you, but not because you're a superstar, just because he loves you. And if you're the one that is backslidden, and you're kind of on the fence, and you're going, man, I love you, Jesus, but the expectations are so hard, and I just don't know if I can make it. It doesn't matter. He still wants you. Amen. Because the rest of this verse is starting to finish out what I think we need to know. Back to when I was when you were talking about the low in Christendom, the low where this hurricane of God's natural or supernatural experience is just going to overflow and take over the body.
Yeah.
We wonder, why are we losing our fire sometimes? And I think it's because we will look at this next section. So it says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And then it says, I appointed you. Now, before I get to the main reason of why I think people may lose fire, I want to talk about this element of being appointed. This is really, really cool, I think. God not only chose us, but he designated beforehand your destiny. He appointed you. So let me bring it down home. So my degree's in nursing, right? So as a registered nurse, I worked many, many years as charge nurse. Who's my nurses in here, right? You guys, charge nurse, right? You're running the floor. But in order to run the floor effectively, I had to pre-designate or appoint individuals on what they could do based on their skill set. So I just didn't appoint nurses on what they had to do. I appointed mental health workers on what they had to do, or I appointed nursing assistants on what they had to do. As charge, I pre-designated. Before we started our shift, I made the list out. So-and-so is going to do this unit. So-and-so is going to do this. So-and-so is going to do this. This person's going to work with these people. And many times I appointed them based on what I knew their relationship would be. I appointed them based on what I knew their skill set was. Jesus Christ appointed us, designated beforehand, that we all have a mission to do. And he knows what our skill set is. In order to break this down so you maybe understand it a little clearer, it goes in and it says that I appointed you so that you can go and produce lasting fruit. So here's the issue. When we read it in the natural, we go, I got to go and produce lasting fruit. But you see, as a human being, everything we produce rots. And we're talking about fruit. Fruit has an expiration date. Things that we do in the natural have an expiration date. Things that we try to do on our own may fail. They don't last. There's a use-by date, you know? You've only got so much time on this earth. It needs to be used up within this time frame. And you don't even know what that time frame is. So how could Jesus Christ designate beforehand that we're going to go produce lasting fruit? Do you see it's not in our strength? And this is, so those that sometimes are losing their fire, I believe, those that are sometimes drawing weary and well-doing, they're trying to do this lasting fruit in their strength. But it doesn't mean that we're to produce lasting fruit in our strength. The lasting fruit that we produce is a supernatural fruit that doesn't have an expiration date. The fruit that we produce is the fruit of the Holy Spirit out of Galatians 5 that never ends. So, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Did you accept Him? Because He chose you? You accept Him. Now, in this appointment that He set up, He's setting you to go and produce lasting fruit. He appointed you because you can do it, not in your own strength. You can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So now all of a sudden, see, this is the grace of God, guys. Now all of a sudden, it's not me doing these things. It's the Spirit of God working through me doing these things. And it takes the pressure off of your mind and the things that, I just can't do it, I just can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it, but God can. And He lives in you, He works through you, and He can make a difference through you. Well, you just need to pray that I have more patience. Well, it came with the fruit of the Spirit, patience. You've got long suffering, suffer long in the Spirit. Because in the flesh, we're going, I can't wait anymore. I'm tired of waiting. But in the Spirit of God, you can wait. And you can hold out. And you can keep going. And you will not grow weary in well-doing when you're moving in the Spirit of God. As well, how do I move in the Spirit of God? You get out of your flesh. Well, how do I get out of my flesh? You seek God. If I'm seeking just myself and what I want to do, then it's just myself and what I want to do. But if I need a breakthrough, if I need to know that, man, it's like somebody comes up and says, will you pray for me? Well, what do you want me to pray for? I don't know. I just need prayer. If I start to pray in my own strength, I'm missing it, man. But when I start to pray in the Spirit, all right, when I start to just reach out and just focus on what God is telling me through the Spirit, all of a sudden I pray and then I can look at them and all, and they're like, they're receiving, because all of a sudden they didn't know what it was, but they know they needed something, and all of a sudden God is answering it. And it's a powerful tool. Again, it goes back to Scripture. See, Scripture continually lines up. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Not through you, whose strength is failing. Every day, we have limitations in our life. But did you know that the Spirit of God is limitless? There's no limit for the Spirit of God. And He appointed you, which means He gave you the ability to move in that manner. Otherwise, He wouldn't have designated it beforehand. He also designated beforehand in His appointment that you would come into this relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. It's all the process of this kingdom of God that we live and know. And it's a beautiful thing. It's not you doing it, my friends. It's the Spirit of God doing it. Well, I can't love, but the Spirit does. I can't be kind, but the Spirit is. In every manner of life, when we seek Him, that's why He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that righteousness is Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden everything else is added to you. Because now I'm taking this scripture for me, guys, and I'm going, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. All right. You see, you can't choose something that's not available. We think Jesus Christ, many times, we're like, where's He at? Where's He at? But we need to understand he chose us. We're available, and he chose us because he's available. Need a double door. No, Travis, will you go comfort that child? I was just kidding. No, you can stay. I don't know what that comfort would look like, so let's just leave that alone. Oh. You are a designated individual, okay? You're designated by God to produce lasting fruit. That lasting fruit comes through the Spirit of God. Ephesians 1:4. I'm not going to keep you guys all day. Ephesians 1:4 says, even before he, God, made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. Can you grab hold of that? Do you see, in myself, I feel like I fall short of being holy. In myself, I feel like I fall short and I'm at fault. But in Christ, see, Colossians 3:3 says that we are hidden in Christ. Why are we, as God's children, hidden in Christ? Because Christ is the perfect covering of our flesh. And so when you start to read the Word of God, realizing that, it isn't all about me. It's all about Him. And when you realize that it's all about Him, it takes the pressure off of you. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So when you're looking at, man, I used to be on fire for God, but now I'm not so much on fire for God. When you start to realize that God is working in you, and then when you surrender to Him, all of a sudden, man, watch out on what will take place in your life. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. He'll not just walk away, he'll flee, he'll run, he'll take off. And what are you left with? God. Wow. So have you ever been in that position where you're like, I just really don't feel like God is working in my life? That's the only time I would say you need to look at yourself. Are you allowing Him to work in your life? Because you see, you have great things that you can do in this kingdom known as the kingdom of God. You have great things. When I was a soldier, they didn't say, you're going to go out and do this without equipping me first. I'm just trying to give you another analogy of the Holy Spirit, okay? I was given as a nurse a stethoscope. That was equipment to use, but I was also trained on how to use it. I think sometimes in the church, we have all kinds of equipment, but we don't know how to use it because we're trying to use it in our natural mind when it's a supernatural God. And so when we get lined up that, number one, you've been pre-designated. You were chosen, number one. Number two, you've been pre-designated, and you've been appointed to do something. And in that appointment, you have been given every bit of equipment you will ever need. Yes. So when you sit there and you say, man, I need patience, guess what? You do. But the Spirit of God in you doesn't. Man, I need to be more kind. Yes, you do. But the Spirit of God in you doesn't. Man, I need more love. Yes, you do. But the Spirit of God doesn't. You see, He's given us that equipment. The Spirit of God Himself in us. We're not saved because we deserve it, but because God is gracious and freely gives salvation. I chose you. I will climb up the mountain for you. I will break down the walls for you. He chose you. I'm going to leave what's going on right now, and I'm coming after you. I choose you. Uncle Sam, I want you, Jesus Christ. I want you. All you have to do is accept. And in the acceptance of that, then you start to get the understanding of what I have now. Okay, I've accepted you, and you've given me promises. Oh my gosh, Lord, really, this is mine? Yes, and it's not in your flesh. It's a free gift. It's yours. You don't have to do anything for it. It's yours. It's given to you right now. All I want you to do is walk out of that appointment, but you don't have to do it even in your own flesh because that's rotten. You do it in my spirit. I've given you everything now that pertains to life and godliness. I've changed you. I've transformed you. I've covered you with the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because I chose you, and that's how much I love you. Oh, man, when you start to bring that into consideration and you're like, what am I complaining about? What is wrong with me? And God says, nothing. Remember, I chose you. I love you. Nothing's wrong with you. So we get transformed in our way of thinking. And we think, okay, I'm not going to think like the world, God. I pray, Lord, I'm going to look and see the way you see. And I want to be able to hear the way you hear. Because in my flesh, it's hard. But in the spirit, it is easy. Do you see the things that we are concerned with in life are easy for God? Yep. I think we need to take that to the bank. The things that concern us are nothing to God. Right. And we have God in us. So when we are connected with Him, those concerns of the world are no longer now concerns because you are in the Spirit. I hope this makes sense.
Yes. Yes,
stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer.
Amen.
I have a final note here. It says, we did not influence God's decision to save us. He saved us according to His plan. From the very beginning of time, my friends, God has seen you even before you were formed in your mother's womb, before all of creation. That's why it's so important that we protect the innocent in the womb, because God has chosen them from the beginning of time. He knows them intimately, and He knows you intimately. You're every being and everything within you, all of it. Father, we are so grateful for your love, Lord. We're so grateful that we don't have to stand on the sidelines waiting to be chosen. You choose us. And we don't have to perform in a manner, Father, in order to get chosen. But Father, anyone who is willing to accept you, you've already said yes to. God, your word says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And God, to you, we are yeses. You chose us beforehand. So Father, my brothers and sisters, I accept the invitation. Father, for those listening, I pray, Father, that they would accept you into their life. For you are quick to forgive, you're quick to cleanse, you're quick to heal. Father, thank you for this beloved group of family that is here today. Thank you for the blessings and promises that you have told us are ours. Father, thank you that in you we have perfect strength. Bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. Comfort them, direct them, guide them with the tools that you've given them. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.